call the order, April 9, 2013, City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate proceeding. I've reviewed the minutes of March 19, 2013, approved them, and have now executed them. Do you have any announcements before we proceed?
Yes, sir, Mr. Capaldo, we do have one case that's in compliance, it's not listed on the agenda. It is number 2, SMG041317, for 909 Madison Avenue. It's in compliance as of April 8, 2013.
Is it McIntyre and Estudio?
Yes.
Okay. Well, those representatives of the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning proceedings. Please step forward this morning.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
First case on our agenda is a lien review, 815 Vernon Street, Brenda Rundage.
Or actually, there's a new owner that's listed on the agenda, Mr.
I was trying to show out on the move.
Come on. You can step up to the microphone and state your name, please.
My name is Adesola Badamasi.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Let's turn it on.
This case started with Brenda Brundage, May of 2008. City of American Times, July of 2008. Order imposing fine, August of 2008, at $100 per day. This is open in compliance December 15, 2008.
Mr. Picaldo, Anthony Jackson on behalf of the city.
This phone would be from Brenda Brundage. Mr. Adam Rosy, October 17th, 2018. Good. I assume that worked. And that was this.
Mr. McKelvey, the fine ran for 131 days from August 6th to December 15, 2008. And as you just reviewed, the property changed hands in October 2012. The city does not have any. I've talked to the staff, and the staff is willing to make a recommendation of $500. This was a parking on the grass violation, and as I said, it ran for 131 days, and it came into compliance. This new owner really had nothing to do with that.
And who brought it into compliance?
Well, it was parking on the grass, so presumably the parking just stopped at some point. This was a Mark Ellison case, so we don't have the officer here who will be able to tell us what happened there.
Let's say the respondent.
Yeah, I know I got the house very quick deed. That's why I wasn't aware of the full thing that happened. And when I got it, I had to, because the house was actually going for tax sale auction. And I was able to talk to them and paid off the taxes, made effort to paint the house, do some roofing on the floor. Unfortunately for me, the contractor that did it too did a very hopeless job, so the floors were all gone. It's been a real challenge for me to get it in place. So until I had a buyer, and I'm selling at a much discount, just about $36,000, because of the poor laborship that was done. And for me to just see this amount was quite a shock to me. And that's why I came in today, to see if I can plead for a release, or at least, if not, whatever you can do to reduce it for me, if it's 100, because it was something that the previous owner did, parking on the grass, that I wasn't fully aware of. So all I ask for at this time is whatever you can consider considerable.
Well, what do you propose? The city's made a pretty generous discount there. And quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, it might have been more generous than I would be inclined to do, but my point is, what would you propose?
Oh, well, I'll take what the city is willing to give then, the 500.
Right, then I will go ahead and order that the amount of the fine and lien be reduced to the sum of $500, subject to being paid within 30 days. Failing that, then the original fine and lien amount will remain intact. If you run up short of time, talk to the city attorney. The city's pretty good when it comes to working with people to try to give them a little additional time so that they can pay the reduced amount.
Okay, I know. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Case number one, Carl Woods, is in compliance. Case number two, William McIntyre, is in compliance. Case number three, Sea Level Properties, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
City, Mr. McKeldrew, the city's here on case number three, which is Sea Level Properties, LLC, 142 North Peninsula Drive. The inspector is Daniel Garcia. This case is here before the magistrate for determination of compliance or noncompliance, and the city will call Mr. Garcia to present testimony to the magistrate.
My name is Officer Garcia. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is City of Daytona Beach versus Sea Level Properties, LLC. Property address 142 North Peninsula Drive. Parcel ID number 0515330813001010. Violations are dorm living, outside storage, damaged fence, peeling paint, dirt and grime, missing glass, missing soffits, no running water, no occupational license. I met with the property manager yesterday for the first time. I actually didn't meet with her. I spoke to her on the phone. I did a re-inspection and found that the building is now secured. The broken windows are not repaired. They're just secured with their plywood. They got boarded them up. She plans on having them fixed, hopefully by the next cutoff. The outside storage has been removed. The damaged fence has been repaired. Peeling paint, dirt, and grime, that's all going to be done before the next cutoff. And the no running water, the water has been cut off, but there's no dorm living going on at this time because there's no one inside, and they plan on leaving it off until they make repairs, and they're just going to put it on for that short time. No occupation license, we're going to also remove that because she's not planning on renting. She's going to repair, and then I guess they're going to sell.
So when do you expect to be in compliance?
So as of now, it's non-compliance, and by next cutoff.
That's May 8th.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Based on the testimony of our inspector, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. In order to respond to change compliance by May 2013, they'll be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day thereafter. Thank you. Case number four, Main Street Properties 1, LLC.
Yes, Mr. Magistrate, this is the property at 211 Fairview Avenue. This is before the magistrate for determination of compliance and noncompliance. The inspector is Danny Garcia. The violation is dorm living. The city will call Danny Garcia to present testimony.
The landlord is here. You need him too?
Do we have anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Yes.
Sir, if you would please just state your name and be sworn.
David Desitale. D-E-S-A-U-T-E-L-S.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, Mr. Desitale, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
Can I find the respondent non-compliance? Mr. Inspector, how much time do you think it should take to come into compliance?
By next cutoff.
Well, I'm going to ask that it be longer than that, Your Honor, and I've got justifications for that if you'd like to hear them.
Absolutely.
First of all, I'd like to say something that's probably rarely said in this court. I'm guilty. And I want to apologize to the city of Daytona Beach, and I've already had the apology tour with my wife and my son. And my explanation is that I came down here and bought a property about a year ago and absolutely fell in love as a retired individual with Daytona Beach. It happened to be on Fairview Avenue. And as a subsequent situation of buying one house, I ended up buying several houses on the same street. And if my math is correct right now, I own 18% of them. Let me tell you what I failed to do, utterly failed to do, plead guilty to it, as I've said to Mr. Garcia and also Mr. Garcia. And that is that where I'm from, these sort of things, to my knowledge, don't exist with regards to the regulations that go on in Daytona Beach. And I felt like I was operating properly. I would like to show Your Honor something here that I pulled off the internet. May I show you?
This is what the property looked like at the time that I bought that. And it's just merely a front shot of it.
And Your Honor, this morning I took a picture of the property from the outside.
And so,
And so it's similar to that one.
Yeah, that's the first picture, and then the second one is what it looks like now.
Without the trash can up out front. Absolutely. And so, Your Honor, what before I retired, I had a history of really seeing things and trying to make them better. For example, I had a situation with the United States Postal Service having to do with mailing bulk mail. And I went to them, and I said, I've got a proposal I think would be acceptable to the United States Postal Service. And the reason I'm bringing that up is that the gentleman said, wow, I never thought of that. Let me take it to my superiors at the regional place. And when they took it to the regional place, the guy said, never thought of that. And so what they did from this little town in North Carolina, they established a national precedent on how to make mailings better for individual companies and also for the Postal Service. The reason I'm asking for more time is, though I am guilty, I have really tried to put a mark on this street for reasons I don't fully understand. My wife doesn't understand. I have this love affair with Daytona Beach that's just skyrocketed. We have an 11-year-old son. My wife, my son, and myself have traveled and had the privilege of traveling to 50 states, all in retirement. So I think I have some credibility in speaking about the United States. So when I came to Daytona Beach and this thing happened to me, it's like a magnet got hooked up to my heart is the way I've described it. And so as a result of that, I've tried to bring excellence to what I've touched. I've now found out, and when the gentleman came to me, they will say to you, I said right off the bat, I'm guilty. I also would point out to Your Honor that on or about the 20th of January, I got a notice. And the records would show that that I quickly called Mr. Garcia, and I came to the town downstairs, and I applied for an occupational license, which I was turned down for on this particular property in question, though I was approved for one that had been in existence as a rental for some time. And so as a result of that, I came down, applied for the license, was rejected by the nice folks downstairs, and then I was back in North Carolina. I got a phone call, and the phone call simply said, you've been approved. Now, apparently I'm not the guy who has the elevator that always goes to the top floor, because when I received that notice, I think a person could say, I'm sorry, the notice I received was that I had been accepted with an occupational license. May I present that to you? Okay. It's actually dated on 2/13. And I'm thinking left hand and right hand knew what was going on within the city. And so I just assumed that everything was fine, including dorm living, which I didn't really know what that meant at the time, but I've since been educated on that, not only by Mr. Garcia, but by Colleen downstairs. And so what I'm getting around to is that I do want to be a good citizen and a good corporate citizen here in Daytona Beach. I'd like to buy more houses. I made an inquiry recently and was accepted on one day, another property on Fairview Avenue, and the next day the gentleman backed out. So I want to be a good corporate citizen here. I want to do things that are beautiful, that are functional. And, Your Honor, I'd like a period of time to see if I could, working with the city, implement a situation where places like I have, which are quite frankly beautiful inside and outside, and see if I can work with them in establishing situations that are not currently in the code books. And so I'm here trying to do that. So the request is that I have a longer period of time to come in compliance.
Let me ask this. What's the nature of the dorm living we're talking about here?
If I may, this originally started with a parking violation. I cited him for parking. Basically, they came in compliance right away before he even received the notice. So we closed that one up. Then I cited him for no occupational license, which he did get, so I closed that out.
He's learning everything the hard way.
Then I got the dorm living issue, but I was at that time I was not able to get inside the property. I found out how many at the time from the people in the front. There are two units in the bottom. There are two in the front there that are married. There's one in the back. And then there's, on the top floor, there's four. And there's
four units,
and one in each. It was constructed, and that's the reason why the short time for dorm living, because we're just talking about bringing down the number of occupants down to no more than two unrelated. What he's going to need more time is, which I didn't cite him for yet, is for the reverting the single-family unit back into a single-family unit. So right now we're just talking about dorm living. Seven people. I don't know how many moved out now. I know there were two on the bottom that said they were moving out, but there's four up top, and none of them are related. And there's two on the bottom. Those two are. So he needs to only have no more than two.
What are the alterations to the property?
The upstairs have been converted into four different rooms, with four different doors, as you see up here. One, two, three.
I mean, these rooms, are they just bedrooms, or are they just bedrooms, kitchenettes?
No.
What have you in there?
No, they share the bathroom, and there's a kitchen downstairs that they're all sharing.
Okay. With separate individual padlocks? I mean,
correct.
Door locks?
Correct.
All right, so it sounds as though we have two problems. One is the dorm living, and then the other is the question of what, if any, modifications need to be made to return it to a single-family home. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, correct, but the only thing, he was only cited at this time for dorm living only.
Okay.
This we're bringing here is only for dorm living.
Dorm living's been fixed.
That would actually be an incorrect statement, Your Honor. The unit downstairs was occupied by a married couple. That is the one with the kitchen. They have moved out.
Okay.
Unrelated to anything I did when Mr. Garcia came, I think the fear of God came into them, and they just...
They did say they were moving, so now there's only four. I would have to do a reinspection to verify that, but there's four up top still, so they're still in violation.
So what exactly, for this gentleman's benefit, constitutes one living?
Once I do a reinspection and verify the two on the bottom have left, then there'll have to be two more up top that'll have to leave. And that would allow them only two unrelated.
Actually, Your Honor, it's...
Two unrelated parties in the same domicile.
Correct.
A maximum of two.
Correct.
Okay. All right, so...
Actually, if I may, Your Honor, just make one correction. It's actually worse than what he just said, in that there is a lady who's a college student downstairs, and she is there, so there's a total of five there, not four. So
that's right. There is one in the bottom of the body. I never met her.
Okay. So in any event, the city's saying you can't have any more than two unrelated persons in the same domicile. All right, and how long is the city suggesting it should take for the respondent to make compliance?
I mean, depending on if he has to do the eviction process, it's going to take longer. But I'd say next cutoff, maybe a progress note if you're going to do the 60 days.
Okay, these folks have leases?
Yes, sir.
So you're going to have to remove them somehow, all but two of them?
Not exactly, Your Honor, because of the time of those, but... if it pleases you, I would ask for 6 months to try to come into compliance to make it not a hardship on the...
What are you talking about in the way of compliance? Are you talking about eliminating the dorm living, or are you talking about remodeling or restoring it to a single-family home?
Well, the reason I brought back in the case with the Postal Service, I think there's a need for what I have, and to address the parking issue, right across the street from this at 216, I have a huge lot there, and it's...
That would be the next one's hearing. You did the same thing across the street at 216.
Okay, what is it you're trying to accomplish over the course of these 6 months as to this problem?
Thank you for the question. What I'm trying to do is to work with the city and be in full compliance and actually attempt to have a change of the law that... that what I have, I believe that I can please the city of Daytona in this time period where they can see that...
what you're touching upon somewhat clumsily, not defensive, is you are suggesting that there might be some other relief available to the city, to you, that would make whatever changes to this property may be needed to enable you to do whatever it is you want to do. And the reason I say that is because if what you're looking for is some alternative relief from the city, relief, by the way, that's not available for me, whether it be Board of Adjustment or the city district, stuff like that, that's a remedy you're entitled to pursue, and if it's your intent to pursue that, then historically we have allowed time for that to happen. What I'm not hearing you say are words like variances, rezoning, or applying for this or applying for that. So if that's what your intention is, then that puts on the table a discussion of additional months. I don't know whether it would be 6 months, but additional time. So if we're just talking about coming into compliance with dorm living, and I guess the extenuating circumstances there that might cause additional time would be whether you've got leases that are holding you up and eviction proceedings that you're now going to have to undertake. That part I understand. And although we will order you to come into compliance, we will recognize that those things take time. If, on the other hand, it's like, no, I would rather try to get a variance or a special exception or a rezoning or whatever other zoning alternative may be available to me, and I'm going to petition to start that process, and I want additional time for that, that may perhaps be the other alternative. So, which is?
Door number two.
Yes. All right. This is dorm living. What, if any, alternatives are there to that?
Well, one of the problems we have is that It's admitted right now non-conforming use. And he will not be able to apply for permits or apply for rezoning or anything else until he resolves or remedy that violation. And so I guess at most, I clearly understand, and I agree as it relates to the need for additional time if indeed there's a lease. And we've been...
Everyone's mind at ease. I'm not carte blanche rolling out 6 months. That's not going to happen anyway. We're going to figure out where we're going from now, whatever objective it is that's laid out there, and then we're going to take it one step at a time. So you can put your mind at ease. I'm not going out a six-month hiatus here. If anything, we're going to start fashioning a plan here, and then everyone's going to come talk to me once a month at least, to let me know where we are on that plan, or if that plan all of a sudden collapses, then we start instituting whatever we need to do to come into compliance. So you don't need to worry about a six-month thing. So I guess the question is, and take your time. I'm not here to rush anybody.
Mr. Kelcher, the concern of the city staff is this. The property was altered, and it was altered without permits. It's a non-conforming use. It has a number of occupants. Even though I agree it's a large place, it has a number of occupants that's not permitted or allowed. If something was to happen at that residence with all of the locked doors and all the other circumstances set up now as a commercial unit, there's a great concern of in, if nothing else, general public safety. The city, at the very least, at first, would like to see it reconverted back to a single-family unit. But obviously the thing that we want to work on is eliminating the storm living. This was generated by complaints to the city, and so it's something that the inspector has gone out, done his inspection, and as from the admission of the owner himself, he's has a desire, and it's a great desire, and it's something that he can pursue, but the city's position is it needs to be pursued after he's brought the property back into compliance, and then he can pursue all types of alternatives that he suggested.
Your Honor, may I just say a quick thing? Attrition alone is going to start taking care of the issue. The woman downstairs, the end of May, I do have somebody who chose at the original time to go on a month-to-month. That can be put into play, the wording of the lease, however, was that it had to be at the end of a month preceding the next month. So, for example, if I gave a lease today, that would also move him out at the end of May. So that would be two of the five people that are there. Remaining would be three. And of those, I have one that ends in August. And begins the process of coming into compliance. And so, you know, mercy is an interesting thing to ask for. I'm asking for mercy. And
well,
I don't.
Unfortunately, mercy isn't in my playbook, but we can be much more practical about how we address these things and accomplish the same result.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
May I have.
Now, mercy is in the playbook of others. And so when you start talking about, well, I want to pursue whatever administrative alternatives might be available to me so that I can effectively either change the zoning or get a variance or get as much of a variance as I can,
yes, sir,
to allow me to do more than I can. That is a right that you have that we recognize, honor, and allow time to pursue. Okay, so you suggested you may want to go that route. The other reality is I recognize you have tenants in there, and it would be frivolous of me to say, if you've got any tenants in there at all, to say you're going to have them all evicted by May 8th, because I don't even think we believe that can happen. Okay, so, all right, so that having been said, you know, we've got to map out a program here. And along the way, you can hear the backdrop here, which is you've got to convert it back to a single-family home. Whether you need to do that before you pursue your remedies or not, I don't know. That's for somebody else to answer us. Stop doing zoning work at one time. But The reality is that right now, the only thing that's before me is dorm living. And that's a matter of reducing the number of occupants down to two unrelated parties. And if you're telling me you have leases there, then my next question is, how long would you reasonably expect it to take for you to get however many occupants are there now down to two unrelated persons?
The end of August.
Slow down, because I'm not buying that. You've already told me you've got a couple that are going to be gone in May.
Yes, sir.
You've already told me August is your is August your furthest out lease?
No, sir.
You've got leases out further than that?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, then you might have a problem, because I can only work with you so much.
Well, August is 4.5 months, approximately.
That's 4.5 months that you're in non-compliance and functioning illegally.
I recognize that, sir.
Okay. And what they're talking about over here is that,
the words you use, variance and zoning changes, et cetera, of course, that's where I'm headed. And, I may or may not get that. I recognize that.
It's more than just where you're headed. I mean, I would need to know that you're getting ready to make application for the next available whatever. And then recognizing that, that would then give me a time frame that I can function with to give additional time. As it stands right now, August. You said August. Well, August is 4 months from now, not 6 months from now.
That's exactly what I just said. At the end of August, that would be very pleasing to me if you could do that. And so then at that point, with all due respect, we are at that point down to two.
Keep in mind, he's going to be recited for no permits for the non-conforming use. He has tenants living in rooms that are going to have to be reverted back to the way it was. So they're going to have to be removed. The permits that he didn't pull was building permits and also electrical, because he hardwired some of the rooms to have smoke detectors, right? Which could be a safety issue. One, for example, Hector and I was at the property across the street that we were inspecting, and we smelt the gas leak. I mean, what's to say, the electrical for that? It was done without permits.
You're going to be doing your inspection anyway to determine what needs. I assume you're going to be going back in there to re-inspect it.
Correct.
For the purpose of the next notice, if you deem a notice necessary. And so at that point, you'll be able to tell me for certain what is or isn't there.
Mr. LeCalder,
last question before you guys lead me in the abyss, which you're about to do. If everything went according to Hoyle, how long would it take to serve a tenant with an eviction notice and remove it? What is that, a 30-day process, a 45-day process? I don't know.
It's a 30-day process.
To serve and to complete an eviction?
Well, if you actually have an tenant, you're able to evict, and I know these things go sideways in a hurry, but if everything goes according to Hoyle, how long does it take to actually evict somebody?
Mr. Kelly, I don't know if I can get that exact number, but I would believe that the 45 to 60-day time period would be a reasonable time period, which would be talking about the next, the June cutoff, which would also be a reasonable time period if he was to apply for variance, for him to apply for variance and maybe even have that response.
So he's telling me in 4 months he's going to be in compliance with the dorm living. I understand you have to go through the building. You're telling me if he starts evicting these tenants now, it's going to take 2 months anyway.
I believe reasonably he can have that done, like I said, by the June cutoff.
Now the great debate is over whether it's 2 or 4 months?
The great debate is we recognize that if we said the next cutoff, that is extremely tight and possibly unreasonable. But if we look at the additional cutoff, the June cutoff, that we believe that that's more than enough time and a reasonable enough time for these things to be accomplished. And if those are the things he say he desire, it's consistent with what we're desiring, which is for him to come into compliance. If he wants to seek out a variance, he would have enough time to do that as well.
Tell me you're not a slumlord.
Absolutely not.
I don't want to be doling out favors.
No, sir. As a matter of fact, when I came down here, I went under the cover of looking for a place to rent. It is despicable the way that I have seen some things down here. These gentlemen will not say that this is a slum place because it's not.
All right, let me think. Let's stop talking. We're all happy right now. We continue to talk. We may not be happy anymore. The next cutoff is May 8th. What is today? Today's April 9th. 30 days. 60 days would be June 5th. 60 days would be beyond June 5th. You're talking about August. When in August are you, you're talking about by the end of August, you would think everybody would be out?
Yes, sir.
Recognizing, Mr. Bukowski, that this dovetails into next month's case as well.
I'll deal with seven tenants in there now?
No, sir.
How many?
At the current moment, right now, there's five.
Okay.
Attrition will take out a young lady in May.
And she'll bring you down to four.
Yes, sir.
And you know you're not replacing these folks.
I do know that, yes, sir.
And you tell me next month we're going to have another case on the building itself? And
yes, hopefully on this other property. Maybe we'll find a way to get the other people out before we get here next month. But, yeah, we're anticipating being here next month on his other property as well as on his property.
I am going to continue, and you have already found a non-compliance. I'm going to continue the determination of the compliance date until our July 3rd meeting. I'm going to continue. And on July 3rd, hopefully you're going to be reporting to me at a minimum two of these tenants are gone, if not more.
Mr. Bukowski, the July 3rd is the cutoff date.
Thank you. I'm going to continue the determination of compliance until July 9th. And in the interim, we should have lost a number of tenants along the way. By then, I will also have heard the case they keep talking to me about. It's going to be on next month's agenda. And so I'm going to know a lot more about what I'm looking at with regard to the facility, too. And on July 9th, I'm going to tell you, if I'm not satisfied with progress having been made in removing tenants, then it's going to be a short compliance window. Okay? And also, that allows you whatever time you need to look into whatever other relief might be available, whether it be variances, special exceptions, what have you. I don't know enough about that to counsel you on it. I just know that what I'm doing here is I'm giving you time because I'm recognizing you've got leases you've got to deal with anyway that are going to take you past the June cutoff.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Hang on a second. You've got apparently a facilities issue that's going to have to be addressed. And then you also have your request for possibly looking into whatever other relief may be available. All right. And then, like I say, in the interim, let me be clear, as one tenant leaves, we don't replace them until we are down to what's legally permitted. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
That's all the wisdom I got for you. Oh, there you go. All right, case number five, Levander A. Miley.
Good morning.
Yes, sir, good morning. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Devander A. Miley.
Sorry.
My other right hand.
Yeah. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you about provided the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Mr. Miley, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I guess so.
Okay, then I find the respondent in noncompliance. And, Madam Inspector, how much time should it take to come into compliance?
With the outside storage has been taken care of. All we've got now is a broken or a window with a board in it and a shutter. Shouldn't take any longer than 2 weeks.
Okay. Mr. Miley, what say you to that?
It's going to take a little more than 2 weeks because I'm struggling. I don't have the money to do the things that she's saying that has to be in compliance. Okay.
Well, she's talking about the window right now.
Yes. Okay. And here's the pictures, and I'm showing you of how the house looks, and what is the problem with me having a board and an air conditioner in the window?
Well, I don't know that it's the air conditioner. I guess it's the board, isn't it?
Yes. Just the board and the damaged shutter.
Damaged shutter. Is that inside or outside?
That's outside. Okay, and here's a picture of the house. So, to me, I'm just trying to understand what is the big deal about having my house like that. It's not an eyesore.
Yes, it is. Okay. Wooden window?
Okay, I understand.
We're not pioneers anymore. It's a wooden window.
Okay, I understand that. But I understand you have good jobs. I'm struggling. I'm struggling to make everything happen. I'm behind on my projects. It's struggling. And you're going to say, because I have to do what I have to do for my house that my parents left. And it's going to cost me, and the city's going to charge me for struggling?
Well, first off, I don't know why you would allow it to come to that. Sounds like the city's been pretty gracious in working with you already. Now it's just a window, and I don't understand what the problem is.
Okay, I need 30 days.
Hang on a second.
I need 30 days, Ms.
If it's a matter of finances, then we'll be happy to talk to you about allowing you time in order to do it within reason. Yeah, the house looks fine. You've done all the stuff you needed to do. Unfortunately, all of us own homes, and we're all subject to being told by the city that we got to fix this or we got to fix that. I just finished repainting my front wall because neighbors were griping. We're all subjected to the same thing. And so it's a matter of just bucking up and taking care of it. And this is very little. So, you know, I don't know that I'd get all agitated about it. It's just a matter of fixing the window. I'd find more important things to get mad about than that. So how much?
30 days,
please. You're saying you ought to be able to finish it by May 8th. So you think you can have it done by May 8th?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Then I'll allow the respondent until May 8th, 2013 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Your Honor.
Get all mad. What?
May I make a, due to a scheduling problem on my part, I'd like to give him till the June cutoff.
No problem. Let me revise that. I will allow the respondent until June 5, 2013 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for the consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay?
Yes, thank
you. Good luck to you.
Yeah, y'all have a nice day.
Case number 6, Julian D. Pompey. Meetings are getting shorter but more intense.
Pardon.
If you would please state your name.
Julian Pompey.
Please, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Ms. Fekelger, we're here on a case at 243 Wellington Drive, and it's case number SMG041320. The inspector is Vicki Langford, and I don't know if you wanted to make inquiry of Mr. Pompey before I start.
Mr. Pompey, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I find the respondent non-compliance. And how much time does the city think it should take for Mr. Pompey to be able to finish compliance?
Actually, as of yesterday, he was in compliance, but due to a history of non-compliance and calls on this house, I'm looking for a will fine.
Ouch. Okay. Okay, Mr. Pompey, the city is recognizing that you're now in compliance, but they say basically you're a kind of a an habitual landscaping offender here. And so they're asking for a will fine that basically would permit them to fine you for every future occurrence. So what say you to that?
No, I don't want to do that.
Well, I know you don't want to. I guess what you're here to try to explain to me is why you're not eligible for or why you wouldn't qualify for a will fine status.
I mean, the reason the yard got out of control in the first place was I was having issues with my lawn equipment, which as of recently has been all taken care of. I got it all repaired and it's in working order.
Yeah, I've got a lady up there just wagging her head back and forth. Did you want to be heard on this, ma'am?
I sure do.
Come on up.
Also, Ms. Fakelch, we'd like to just present to you, there's been 8 lot clearance notices sent to this property by, against the owner since April 2010.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Would you please state your name and be sworn?
My name is Pat Franklin.
Can you raise your hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about the rights, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I sure do.
Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Franklin.
Okay. I'm president of the Georgetown Homeowners Association, where Mr. Pompey resides. Mr. Pompey got this property on February 15th of 2011. Prior to that, this property was in foreclosure short sale. We had worked diligently with the city of Daytona to try to minimize the impact of an empty property, which has been an issue for the entire city and indeed the entire country. So when Mr. Pompey took the property, we were thrilled because now we were going to have someone in a property and we would have one less vacancy in our area. We first contacted Mr. Pompey in April of 2011 because the yard had been allowed to become overgrown. Our property we sent a letter. He called our property manager, Ed Hunter, and indicated that because the property had been empty for some time, there was a lot of work that needed to be done on the inside, and that's where he had placed his attention. We indicated to him that we fully understood that all we were asking is that the yard be regularly cut, edged, trimmed, and weed-eated. That's all we wanted. This has been a continuing problem for 2 years, where Mr. Pompey continually allows this property to become overgrown. At one point, it was so bad that the grass had entirely covered the sidewalk on the north side of his property. Every attempt that we have made to contact Mr. Pompey, he has not gotten back with us, and this has been just on and on and on. We first worked with it when we had adopted a policy through our homeowners association that when our covenants and restrictions mirrored that of the city of Daytona, that we would give a resident 2 notices, and on the final notice that we would indicate that we would work with the city of Daytona Beach because they were also in violation of city code. This has been consistent in dealing with anyone, not just Mr. Pompey. For the most part, we've been successful. There has been very few times it has had to come to this level.
Okay.
And that is my concern. I went by the property because I had to check out another property on that street that is in foreclosure with the Bank of America. And Bank of America had dropped the ball as far as keeping the property cut, so I had to go by there, check that out. As of Friday, Mr. Pompey's property had again become overgrown. The backyard where his dogs are was deeply rutted, where he's allowed the dogs to basically dig up 2/3 of the backyard. There's very little grass left in the backyard. As of Monday, Vicki Langford went by and inspected the property. She emailed me that the property had been and that it looked fantastic. Not house beautiful, but fantastic. I went by the property myself to look at it. If Mr. Pompey can do that in 2 days, there is no reason that he cannot do it on a consistent basis. And that's all we ask. We ask that you cut, edge, weed, and trim your property on a consistent basis. So this issue about lawn equipment, I beg to differ.
Very good. Okay, Mr. Pompey, sounds as though you've got quite a rap sheet here when it comes to dogs and maintenance of the grass.
Yeah, bringing up what she just said, that there's no reason that it can't be maintained like that, there is a reason. I work 2 full-time jobs. It is hard to do certain things. I mean, it's not always out of control like that. Yeah, sometimes it gets long, and then I take care of it. But as of recently, my lawnmower was not functioning. So that's why it got real bad. But that was fixed. It was broken, and it is now fixed. The yard looks good. I understand that I live in a neighborhood where a lot of people are retired and they have time to put that much time into their yard to make it green and look fantastic. Unfortunately, I don't. I work 2 jobs.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent. Well, we've already found the 9 points. I'm going to find the respondent is current. We don't need to talk anymore. We're good. Any more conversation will just go downhill. I'm going to find that the respondent is currently in compliance. I'm going to go ahead and order a will fine that for every future violation, the respondent be returned for consideration of fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Now, before you go crazy here, okay, you're now under the watchful eye, of course, of your homeowners association as well as the city. First time you fail to cut your yard, it does not mean you're going to get a $5,000 fine. It's a progressive thing.
Okay.
First time you're in here because you've let it go too long, you know, then it might be 100, 100, 200, 300, I don't know. And the more times it happens after that, the more it's going to keep climbing up the ladder. So let me explain to you that that's how it works, because I don't want everybody going back to our Georgetown subdivision just all kinds of mad at one another. So this is all workable. This is all doable. This is all fixable.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if for some chance you think you've been treated unfairly, then before you come back here, take a snapshot yourself of whatever you think your yard's looking like if you differ with others regarding whether or not it's satisfactory or not. But the long and the short of it is, okay, now there's a will fine in place, so now you're kind of under the gun as far as making sure that the maintenance happens on a routine basis. And it's a graduated thing. You know, so hopefully we won't ever get there, but there you go. And if you end up back here, be prepared to come and explain or show to me why it is that it wasn't your fault or it was due to circumstances beyond your control.
All right. Now, is this will fine in place as long as I own the property?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck to you. Okay, that concludes the regular agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought up?
Right. Nope, I don't have anything, Mr. Foucault.
Okay, very good.